There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. Another Chamber of Commerce favorite. Maybe you can't say that anymore. You used to talk about Chamber of Commerce weather, right? It was a real Chamber of Commerce day, and it was to say, hey, how nice it would be. But now with some of the grassroots conservatives out there being so anti-Chamber of Commerce, maybe it's not the compliment it used to be. It used to be that, you know, you'd say Chamber of Commerce, high today around 68, right now 66. Beautiful sunshine, blue skies. Nice day out there, Chamber of Commerce weather, but now maybe that has negative connotations. I don't know. The world is changing out there, isn't it? All right, coming up on today's show, a couple things we're going to do this hour, plus next hour, we're going to, if you missed the interview yesterday with Senator Doug Jones, we'll get that. Also, Bill Britt talking about the clean lotto bill that McClendon's bringing in the Senate. We'll get into that here in hour number two. And I want to talk about a couple things today. Number one, the Democrats putting the wrestling move. Don't you think there's going to be a wrestling move soon? The full Mueller. They want the full Mueller. They want to put the president in the full Mueller. I'll tell you what, I think the president is going to put himself a bit in a full Mueller, as the president has talked about it. Sarah Sanders talked about the great Republican health care plan that's going to come out after the 2020 elections. I'm going to run through that with you here in just a little bit. And also, city leaders are here in Mobile are meeting about what to do about gun violence. I'm going to give you a chance to make that call coming up in just a couple minutes. First, though, I just wanted to run through some international news and a story that we've talked about for months and months here, and the rest of the world's on board with it now, but what's going on in Venezuela? I think it's a great cautionary tale in this nation when people want to run to socialism. And, you know, back to the argument of socialism, people say, well, no, we're not talking about socialism like Venezuela for the United States. We're talking about socialism like the Baltic countries. Okay, with the Baltic countries, places like Norway and Sweden, they are capitalist with a big safety net. Now, you can argue, you know, how close is that to the zero line for capitalism, or how close it is to the zero line for socialism. But the key elements that make socialism don't exist in the Baltic countries, but they did, and they do in Venezuela. Okay, Venezuela was a very prosperous country for a long time. And I'm thinking about, I'm hopefully going to get some of the people here in Mobile, some people I grew up around that had moved from Venezuela to our area, have plenty of family still in Venezuela. I've heard the stories of what it's like for those people there right now. Then you see this from the AP. Venezuela's Supreme Court called Monday for Juan Guaido to be stripped of his legislative immunity, tightening the noose on the opposition chief just days after authorities announced a ban on him holding public office. So the Maduro folks have now said there's a law in the country that this person, Guaido, can't hold office. Now, Guaido has been recognized as Venezuela's interim president by some 50 countries, including the United States. And right now, he's locked in a power struggle with President Nicolas Maduro that has drawn neighboring states as well as superpowers such as the United States and Russia into the mix. As the political battle plays out, the country has been hit by a series of devastating blackouts, right? No electricity. By the way, the food was already an issue. Food was already a big issue in Venezuela even before this, you know, speedy collapse that's going on now, the slow collapse, the cold collapse that's been happening for years in Venezuela had already pinched them on food supplies. But now, blackouts that have left millions without water, prompting the government to replace the country's energy minister and institute power rationing to bid to address the outages and the water issues. Now, let me point out, as they have water issues, now, there's some of it's driven by not being able to run their facilities because they don't have electricity in what was a really, really second world country that could look across the fence at the first world. Venezuela, a decade and a half ago, maybe even just a decade ago, pretty much about to want to step on into first world status. Now they can't keep the power and they have issues getting water. Now, point out that they've got the water there, like, you know, the Orinoco River, right, which is the second longest after the Amazon or the Rio Negro in South America, second longest. Big river, lots of water. They can't get the water to the people because they can't keep the power on. Now, mind you, keeping the power on, you'd say, power, electricity, driven by what? What do you create electricity with? Well, a lot of places will use coal. Other places will use natural gas, right? Or some kind of derivative from oil. Venezuela is such a big oil producer. Venezuela, a member of OPEC. Venezuela, a member of OPEC, a global energy provider that can't get the energy to the power plant to be able to get water processed for the people in a place that has water everywhere. And once again, as a cautionary tale to the problems that could come from socialism. Now, on down the story here, it said the new minister they have replaced here for the country's electricity or the energy infrastructure here is a electrical industry worker with 25 years of experience, an engineer who had many responsibilities before. And so the first thing this person's put in is electricity rationing. Maduro has announced 30 days electricity rationing for Venezuela. His government said they're shortening the workday. Yeah, because that's what they need to do. They need to shorten the workday so people in this country that is going through such tumult have less money in their paychecks. But they're shortening the workday, and they're closing the schools because of the blackouts. With no electricity, pumping stations can't work, so water service is limited. Streetlights and traffic lights go dark. Pumps at fuel stations stand idle. And cell phone and internet service is non-existent in Venezuela. Y'all, this is not a third world nation. This is not some place that never had infrastructure. This is Venezuela that was flush with money. And full second, really, let me argue, first world infrastructure. Now they can't get water. The kids don't go to school. People work limited hours. The streetlights don't work. They don't have the electricity to pump the gasoline in a country that creates enough oil exports to make it a member of OPEC. There you go. Venezuela. 20 years after being the gem of South America, is now moving in to the third world. Going backwards. Cautionary tale. Cautionary tale. 1215 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back at your chance to make the call because city leaders are meeting about what to do about gun violence in Mobile. What if you were one of those city leaders? What would you be saying today? We'll get to that story and your calls when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. And we'll get into the committee meeting going on right now with law enforcement, city leaders on what to do about gun violence in the city. And we'll read through that, and then I want you to take the chance to make the call, right? You get to make the call. I'll explain that in just a second. All right, got some stats here from our friends at Harry's. Did you know the average guy will spend 3,000 hours of his lifetime shaving? You gotta be kidding me. I want my hours back. Hey, don't waste 4 months of your life overpaying for four poor performing razors. Invest your time with Harry's quality shaving supplies at a fair price. You know, I've told you I've been shaving with Harry's for years. I love the great shave, and that's the keystone to the whole deal. The blades, the shave are awesome, but I also love the convenience of having those blades show up at the house, and I like saving 50% on what I was paying before buying my blades for replacement blades from the grocery store or from the pharmacy. 10 million of us now shaving with Harry's out there, so get on board. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping right now when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Limited time offer. Harry's has a special offer for y'all. Listeners of the show that are a new customer, you'll get $5 off that trial set from Harry's with code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today and join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. Use code MOBILE at checkout, claim your offer, and let them know I sent you and help support the show. All right, so check it out, and yeah, $3. If you've been on the fence about Harry's, it's $3. Give it a shot. Tell me what you think. All right, the story from our news partners at WKRG, talking about what's going on today. The Mobile Public Safety Committee meeting today to discuss the ongoing gun violence in the city. Public Safety Director James Barber and Police Chief Lawrence Batiste will be there to talk about the efforts to combat the violence. Now, of course, Public Safety Director Barber was in with us last week talking about it. The meeting takes place at 1:30 this afternoon, and we'll talk more about what they roll out in this meeting. But I will give you a shot here at doing this. You're somebody who we're going to put you in this meeting, right? So either you're running the show or you're one of the people speaking at this roundtable on what to do about gun violence in the city of Mobile. Now, one part of it has been this discussion of keeping the guns out of the hands of the criminals, right? We went through that last week and the week before, this push to remind folks. And I think there's nothing wrong if you have a problem with being reminded to lock up your vehicle, if you have lock it up anyways, but especially if you have your handgun, you have a gun in the car, then I can't help you. If you say, I don't even want to hear that, well then, call me. I'd love to talk to you about that. Of course, where the area of discussion I think comes in is should there be penalties for the people who don't? And that's where I can absolutely see both sides of this issue. But just reminding folks to lock up their vehicles and keep those, I mean, heck, who wants to have their gun stolen in the first place, right? And then who wants to, as Public Safety Director Barber said, who wants to have that gun stolen just what could just be feet away from your front door? Right, that resonates with me as well. But on top of that, what do you do to stem the gun violence in the city? Now, there's a couple things that have been wrong. I'll tell you what is existing now, and then you can add to it. Number one, this push for people to lock up their vehicles. Number two, trying to put a wedge in the revolving door for people bonding out who already have shown that they're violent criminals. You have this by, number one, a full court press by the police chief and the public safety director and the district attorney. They've been talking about this. But on top of that, you have Chip Brown. Representative Chip Brown has moved legislation up in Montgomery to make it to where the judges will be at liberty to deny bail to certain defendants. Now, in the past, that could have been done for capital offenses. But what they're saying now is, okay, for example, somebody who is gone in these cases, I mean, this is taken from specific cases in the city, somebody who has been arrested for a violent crime, they go in, and I see the scales of justice on this. The people are accused of a crime. Remember, we still are innocent until proven guilty. I like that. I think that's good. But in these cases, somebody who's arrested for a violent crime, they go in and they get bail and they're out on bond, right? They're out on bond. They get picked up again for another violent crime while they still have not seen their court date for the first one. The idea would be at that point, denying bond to that person. and using the reasoning that they have broken the rules of their bond. They have failed to comply with the dictates of the previous bond. I've heard it from public safety director. I've heard it from the police chief. I've heard it from the sheriff of Mobile County. If you could keep 10 to 20%, I think it's 10, I think it's even as low as 10, 10% of the criminals in town are doing 80% of the crime, the violent crime. They could keep them in jail. They could change it by that much. So those are two things that are already being worked out. Okay, so those are initiatives, those are ideas that have already been discussed. Now, I'm going to give you a shot at adding things that they haven't thought about yet. Once again, 1:30 today, just an hour from now, there's this meeting going on, another committee meeting roundtable. I don't know that anything brand new that they haven't talked about behind closed doors is going to come out, but maybe. But what would you add to it? I mean, Mobile Police Department, MPD, but they're enforcing the laws, right? They're enforcing the laws. They're arresting people. Those people are getting back out and committing violent crimes sometimes. Not everybody, but obviously enough examples that you can probably think right now of the stories in just the last 12 months. So beyond that, what do you do? Now, this is not just an issue for Mobile. There's a lot of cities that deal with this issue, but this is my town and your town. And even if you're Baldwin County folks, it's your town too. We're talking about all of us because it affects all of us. What do you do here? While still not having, I mean, there's a sliding scale of liberty and safety, right? Like you can have a fascist state, a totalitarian state that might ensure a great deal of safety out there with zero liberty. You can also have a society that has 100% liberty, but no guarantee at all of any point of safety. And I don't believe you can expect to have safety guaranteed to you at all walks of life, at all hours of the day, at all places, but some modicum of safety, right? So those are the two extremes. So where do you balance that seesaw that is equitable for liberty, at the same time balanced for safety? And what do you do? Do you have some mechanism that they haven't thought of yet you can add to this? What would that be? What would you do? You know, some people have suggested bringing back roadblocks like existed during the Jones administration. But I've seen the stats on that. They didn't exactly get a bunch of illegal guns off the street doing it. They got some. But to do it, they also hassled a lot of people that were doing nothing wrong except just being citizens and traveling. So what do you do there? How do you, I mean, as we say, and I think that is fair, that I'm sick of the violence. You know, one violent act like that is too many. But this pattern that it seems to almost become, it has become routine. Another weekend, another series of shootings. This one fatal, this one not fatal. Those are human beings that are dead now because of these shootings. Whether they be specifically on that person or innocent bystander. And I got to tell you too, you got to put, this is a, you know, this is just truth. You have to put a value on the person that's killed and decide how people will react. Meaning I see this pie, I've often said I see it cut in three ways. There's one part of the pie is bad guys killing bad guys, with all deference to 2019, bad girls killing bad girls. But, you know, generally it's dudes killing dudes, bad dudes killing bad dudes. That's the lowest in my priority list, except that sometimes the addendum to that is the bad dude on bad dude violence gets an innocent person killed or shot or killed. Next part of the pie, domestic issues. This is obviously a problem. This is obviously something worth looking at, but I don't know that it puts the gut-wrenching fear in the populace like the third slice of pie does, because people say, well, as long as I'm not involved in that relationship, this is not a danger to me. The third slice of pie is what gets people's attention, right? Bad dudes hurt innocent people. Sometimes bad dudes hurt innocent people on purpose because they go to rob them, take things from them, carjack them, whatever it is. sometimes that's bad dudes going after bad dudes and hurt good people while doing it. But either way, that third component is the one that I think drives the conversations like that are happening right now. So what can you do? We'll let you make the call when we come back. You're down at that meeting today. You can make a decision. I'm going to make you king for a day. You're the czar of safety for the city of Mobile. What do you do? That's not being done now, that they're not petitioning to be done now, that can be done within the constraints of the society we live in. What do you do? This is your chance to fix it. 343-0106. 343-0106. We'll be right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1236 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, from the Twitter feed, this bond issue is a local Mobile County problem with an unnecessary proposed state solution. You can already revoke bond to those who have violated their bond, and judges already have it out with danger to the community. Right, so that was discussed when I think, with the district attorney at one point and also with Public Safety Director Barber. There's something to the effect of... It takes away, and this is not in legal terms, of course, but the way I understand it, and we could discuss this, it takes away some of the protection of hiding behind saying, well, you know, they're not a, I don't see them as a danger to the community because they haven't had the first trial yet. I mean, that's the problem, right? You can say, and I'm torn, because the civil libertarian in me says, listen, they have not been convicted of the first crime. But I'm also, aware enough that when... How sad is it when, they'll say, well, the Mobile Police Department, law enforcement is looking for this person. And you see the screen on the evening news and there are a series of mugshots of that person. They're like, oh, maybe they look like this. As you look at all the mugshots, you go, my gosh, how do you balance that? How do you balance keeping those people in until their day in court at this, how do you balance keeping them in with making sure you protect that liberty? We've got a few more on Twitter we'll get to also on the text line here, and then we're coming to the phone. Target, this one says, target high crime areas where most of the crime is taking place, DIP, Pritchard, etc. Well, you can't do anything about Pritchard outside the city limits, although they do work some combo task force stuff, and I know the Mobile County Sheriff's Office does do a lot of work in Pritchard. Stop and frisk. How can you do, stop and frisk works, I think, better in big metros. I don't know that I like it, but that works better in a big metro, doesn't it, than such a spread out place as Mobile. Max says this, gun violence, the officials are talking to each other, but no one talks to the people on the streets. Okay, now, back, I think that's interesting. Wonder if who needs to else be brought into this discussion to say, hey, what would work? That's what we're looking for. Let's go to Thomas and Theodore next. Hey, Thomas.
Thank you for having me on, and happy peanut butter and jelly sandwich day.
Is it,
Sean? Yes, peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Cool.
One of the major league ballparks, baseball, they got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with bacon, $10.
Yeah, we had that story on the other day of all the different weird food for MLB Open. That's about, if it goes any further with the massive jaw pain that I've dealt with for the last 3 days, that's all I'll ever be able to eat again is peanut butter and jelly. But go ahead.
That's what I do. I don't have any teeth. I'll liquids.
Yeah, I'm there.
I eat ramen noodles and Idahoan instant potato, mashed potatoes.
Man,
potatoes
carb up. You're ready for a triathlon.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sign me up. And I'll do two of them. Fred Richardson, 20 years ago, was harping on this. And I say, if you're on, and I'm stealing this from Fred, because he complained about it all the time, and I agree with him. If you find a suspect on a scene, of a crime, and there's a gun involved, there's no bond. You don't get out of jail until the case is adjudicated.
I'm trying to understand this. So whether the gun was discharged or anything, if there's a gun there, there's no bail.
No bail at all. You don't let this guy out, and I don't care about his liberties. He's got a gun. He's on the scene. There was a crime committed. We
are a country that's based on the liberties of the individual, right? I mean, remember that whole thing that makes us different?
I think he throws away his lip, packs the gun, and goes leaves the house.
What if it's a person defending themselves? Somebody defending themselves from a crime and they have a gun and they show up. How do you decide who doesn't get bail, who does?
Well, if he's committing a crime, if you're just having a gun and for self protection, you didn't commit a crime.
What if you show up and that person says,
"Come on now,
that's not my gun."
There's two different things.
Okay, all right. Well, and I appreciate it. So, there's Thomas with his addition saying, "If there's a gun there, there is no bail." What do you say? Once again, if you're just joining us, they're having another meeting here, city officials, what to do about gun violence in the city. Listen, I'm not gonna pick on it because I'm glad they're talking about it. I mean, if they weren't talking about it at all, that wouldn't be good. But you know the. Is there anything that they can talk about at these meetings that they haven't talked about behind closed doors already? You know, John says, it makes me extremely mad about the violent crime. Here we are trying to grow the city, and a few people are hampering this effort, and the criminals make us all look bad. I agree, and they also make you not feel safe in your city, right? And back to what Mac said. This is, Mac, I like that. I don't know who that person is, but I like what you're saying in the text. That the officials are talking to each other, but no one talks to the people on the streets. Now, I think there's probably people within Mobile Police Department that do talk to the people in the streets. But to find out, you do have to have buy-in, Mac, and I agree. You have to have buy-in from the community and those communities where most of the violence goes on. And I, you know what? This will be the second. Thomas, I will jump on board, too. Something, and y'all mark a note here, because it's not every day you hear this, that I'll agree with something Councilman Fred Richardson has said. He's actually said quite a few good things over the years. He also says a lot of things I think are goofy, but in all of it, there have been some good things. And he wanted a map. He wanted a map in the city, maybe like a GIS map. You know, overlay where you have layers of different information. And that GIS map would show where shootings were taking place. And I know everybody goes, oh gosh, my property value. I know. But if you had a map there where those shootings took place, maybe that kind of information, does that solve the problem that you have the map? No, but maybe it shows you patterns. It shows you, I mean, do you do this by physically shutting down the violence somehow? Roadblocks and those kind of things. And I worry about that. Those kind of things. I'm not saying I'm going to be against it in every case, but I'm very suspect of that stuff. Or are you going to change hearts and minds? And I mean to make fun of it. I'm not. If you could change hearts and minds, fantastic. But I've seen enough people perp walked in this city to go, that individual there is not going to be compelled by, you know, do right. Okay. This texter here. I'm king for the day. What do I do? Legalize drugs, legalize gambling, eliminate no weapon zones, which, you know, come on, y'all, that's the no weapon zones about as silly as it gets. Eliminate plea bargains, no bail for repeat offenders in violent crime, no early release for violent criminals, expand self-defense and Castle Doctrine protections for self-defense. I don't know, ours are pretty, I feel pretty good here in Alabama about our Castle Doctrine, but what about that? You would legalize drugs and legalize gambling. I mean, the legalized drugs argument is one of them that libertarians have brought up for years. It takes the violence, takes the violent component out of the drug trade out there. This person says, no permit to carry a gun out in public and no bond. Well, actually, you don't have to have a permit now at all. you can open carry in the state of Alabama. Now, once you get in your vehicle is the issue for you're transporting it, then it's concealed. But we're an open carry state. You can carry your gun out in public. Right there on your hip, cowboy. You can. You're legal. Okay, this is interesting. Chris says, bring back street-level CRAM detail units. The SLIDE, which is an acronym, SLIDE unit, and the Jaguar unit. I remember Jaguar unit. These units make contact with anyone loitering, walking around the streets with no purpose, hanging out at service stations. They used to pull a lot of guns off the street. I remember the Jag unit. I do remember that. And the SLIDE, I don't know the SLIDE unit. What is that acronym? Chris, if you can let me know what that acronym, I'd like to educate myself. Will says the city could give incentives for citizens to purchase firearms and be properly trained. Sure, and what that does, Will, I would like the idea of people protecting themselves. You know, I'm all in on that. I don't know that that reduces the level of crime, because we think about this, and yes, there have been some examples of it being a deterrent, but usually what that handgun, that exercising of the Second Amendment, Amendment rights do, is once bad guy has tried to hurt good people, it lets you shut it down and mitigate it. Right, Will? But it doesn't seem to be the deterrent. The idea that the bad guys said everybody could have a gun, we like to have this fantasy that they're all worried about, oh, I'm not going to go over there because I think they all have guns. I'm not saying they're not individuals that have been through that, but it hasn't shown itself to be. Now, it's a deterrent to stop the violent predator of hurting more people, but it has to be instigated by bad dude first. So I'm all behind you with the, it's like a secondary deal, right? But I don't know if it's a preventative. Street level drug enforcement units. Don't we have that? Don't we have that right now? But these are good. These are suggestions. This is what I want. You're getting to be part of this, and you get to be king for a day. And what would you do? Let's go to is it Val or is that correct?
Yes.
Val in Somerdale. Hey, what's your idea?
Well, the what I'm hearing a lot of is what to do and whatnot. And I'm originally from California, Los Angeles, and I've been living out here for the last 9 years, and I don't know how.
So you went from LA to LA. You went from LA to LA. So welcome to the two LAs.
Yeah, Mobile is actually turning into a little LA, and you know, I was born and raised out there, and the police didn't know they had a gang problem until it was too late. And a lot of the things that are going on in Mobile, they remind me of the things that went on in L.A. before everything just went to crap. And I'm not sure how they do the laws out here as far as that goes, but when they're put on probation or parole and they give an address to where they're going to be living in California, they give a...
Hello?
...to be searched. And your place of where they live to be searched.
Okay.
So they can have a probation officer and the police go to the residence that they gave that they're staying at and go in without a search warrant and search the premises.
Just like a
and
surprise.
With a lot of guns.
Like a surprise inspection, like, hey, we're here.
Exactly. You don't have to notify them or nothing. They can just pop up at your door and come in and search the premises.
So you think
and,
that would help?
I think they can get a lot of guns off the street like that.
And interesting, Val. I appreciate it. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, it probably would. And there, like I said, there are a lot of things that could be done to provide more security. Can these things be done to and still keep some level of liberty? Or where do you balance that seesaw? We got a problem. We got to solve it. That's what you're doing right here on Midday Mobile. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, coming up next hour, my interview with Senator Doug Jones, also a discussion I had with Bill Britt from the Alabama Political Reporter, because I am tapping out, had a crash team of dental folks trying to figure out what's wrong with me this morning. They haven't, and so I am just about to have to go lay down here. So we'll pick it up tomorrow morning, bright and early with Mobile Mornings. But if you didn't catch those interviews, they're coming up next hour right here on Midday Mobile. All right, a couple other things on my list here. Let me run through the last of these texts. Eric said, you know, there's a problem when your city is featured, one of the featured cities on the first 48, that TV show. All right. And the Jump Out Boys were the street team he was talking about there in the earlier text. Okay, I think I remember that. Sean, you remember a few years ago, the car theft stings were set up, catching car thieves, some fake guns in the cars for the car thieves. That'd be interesting. What was that? I did see, there's a TV show I've seen like one or two of. Was it Bait Car or something like that, where they put the car out and like a sting? Okay. And we'll continue this discussion going forward, but that's what they're doing. So the city leaders are once again talking to each other and hopefully figuring out something to talk to with everybody else about how to deal with gun violence in our city. It's not like you can look to a ton of other cities because there's a lot of places in the country are dealing with the same thing. But this is my town. This is a place I want fixed first. Story from WSFA out of Montgomery. This is something, hopefully we'll get the interview tomorrow or sometime this week, because this guy's highly entertaining on the air. And we're talking about Department of Agriculture head Rick Pate. He's quoted in the story from WSFA. So the Alabama Department of Agriculture and Industries said 180 applications were approved to grow industrial hemp in Alabama. Okay, we talked about this a little bit the other day. With the CBD oil and also the discussion of, the push here. One of the bills out there pushing for medical marijuana. It says industrial hemp is a type of cannabis plant in the same family as marijuana. Advocates say it can be used to create products including oils, car parts, and clothing. Speaking of car parts made from the marijuana family, do y'all remember what was the Cheech and Chong movie, Up in Smoke, when they made the whole vehicle out of marijuana? McMillan Arrington is the owner of Southern Hemp Incorporated and had his application approved. He's quoted here as saying, I'd like to see hemp used to the fullest extent, anything from cosmetics to medics to food to products to paper products. End quote. He also wants to grow industrial hemp so he can help create textile products with it. Department Commissioner Rick Pate said, it approved the applications as part of a pilot program to grow industrial hemp in Alabama. He said there are still many unknowns in the program. For instance, Pate said it is unclear if there will be people to buy the hemp once it's grown. Come on, man. Rick Pate went on to say, we're not telling people there is that market, but potentially there is. So once the hemp plant is grown, it's sent to a processor as part of the process to be molded into a product. They said right now there are no processors in Alabama. So 180 people getting licensed to grow it, but there's no processor. This is like the beginning of a economy econ class worksheet. This is good. He cautions people before they decide to grow hemp. This guy Arrington who's doing it, well, of course he cautions you because he doesn't want competition. He said, I would say if you're going to grow hemp, you need to know who is going to process it for you, who's going to buy it from you when you put the seed in the ground before you spend any money on this. Department of Agriculture head Rick Pate said 65 processors have had their applications approved, but they haven't gone into production yet. We're going to try to get Rick Pate on the show here this week and talk more about that. 180 licenses for growing hemp in our state now. All right. The news is on the way next. Y'all have a great one.